Alex, a little bit to the left, and then just smash the entire thing down. Just smash.
The
smash.
Hole.
Yeah, the whole lot.
I can do it.
Just do it.
With all of my new
do stuff. It.
All right.
Yeah, do
ready?
It. Yeah, do it.
Just get prepared.
That's my channel?
I have to find my G. Yeah, don't focus on the sledgehammer. I'm going to break this wall with my strength. Don't focus on the sledgehammer. Inner spirit.
Do it. Smash it.
Swing with me.
You're taking so long.
Break this wall with all my strength. And ripen it. Yeah.
My gosh, dude. Poppy, what is going on?
Poppy,
you knocked down the whole wall.
I told Poppy I had the power to knock down walls. Now don't look at this.
Why did you do it?
Because I could, and I wanted to show someone to prove that I could.
Yeah, it's
a giant hole in the wall. I mean, yeah.
Wait a second.
What?
This is actually kind of genius.
What'd I do?
We could turn half the Theater Brothers Theater into a drive-in.
Wait, so people would drive up to this hole in the wall and look at the screen instead?
Well, I mean, we could tear down the whole wall.
I was going to say.
No, okay, hold on. We gotta not do that and know where we're hitting because we don't want to destroy the whole theater. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, this is my plan.
Okay. Left. Go to the left. Left. Good idea. Cool.
Oh, my arms are tired from swinging the hammer and you breaking down the wall with my own strength. With the help of a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
Good idea, guys.
This is my plan.
Aren't you afraid people are going to come in who also have COVID?
Shh, shh, shh. Oh my God, we're getting a call. Everyone quiet. I think
what
it's the? Theo. It's Theo. Everyone quiet.
I'm not talking.
Quiet!
Shut up, Poppy!
What? Yeah, shut up! Okay.
What's going on?
Oh, what? Nothing.
Hey, what's up?
We were,
Nothing?
I'm
just moving some stuff.
What's going on? Seriously.
Nothing. We have a client. We have a customer. They're going through our quarantine process.
Yeah, you know how we wipe down the customers
it's
when they come
time.
In and you know they have to sanitize themselves.
Yeah,
and everything.
You know.
So we have a customer.
Yeah, we're just going through it right now. They're here. They're totally real. They're totally real.
Yep.
Good. So you're giving them like the wipe down and everything. So that's
yeah.
That's good. I will need a little extra money coming in. So if you guys could maybe find some alternate revenue streams, that would be super.
There is
because I'm going all in on my pitches. I got a producer who might be interested. Shoshana's worked with him on a few projects, and he said he might call.
Okay.
Okay.
So,
just a fair warning.
I know I promised Charlize Theron, but you know.
Oh well, yeah. I mean, that was a
no,
letdown.
No offense. I'm not really holding you to this promise here.
Yes.
I'm serious. He's gonna call. He's gonna call any minute. I swear.
All you do is disappoint.
I just want you to know this person. We're not really getting paid for this. It's a free movie. It's an employee free movie.
We could fake it.
We could fake what?
Fake the customer.
We have so much money from breakdown away.
I know. Oh, get someone. Get Mappo.
What?
Get Mappo. Hey, Mappo, you're seeing that movie, right?
Why is there so much construction here?
There's no construction.
What? I'm seeing a movie?
You're a mop. You don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Mappo, you are our customer,
it's
an employee-free movie that we give our employee every free
right.
we can.
You're seeing that one movie.
I get to see a movie?
Yeah, that one you wanted to see.
What was that one? All this construction. The money pit.
Yeah, the money pit where Tom Hanks buys a house and they break it up. And
don't spoil it for him.
We haven't seen the trailer. I showed him the trailer.
Sorry, yeah.
You didn't show me any trailer but the Batman trailer.
No, we all want to see
Mappo,
that.
You're so flaky.
Yeah.
What is this on the floor? Is that the outside? No, Mappo. Just, you know.
It's
hey.
Not. Yeah, what's up? Huh?
What is going on there? Because it sounds like you're talking about...
Mappo is seeing a movie, and we're putting a quarantine suit on him.
What? Shut up!
Okay,
I hope you're not damaging the building, because we really can't afford any repairs
now. Why would we?
They are certainly not touching me and forcing me into a quarantine suit right now. I'm for sure seeing a movie. Please do not put me in that bucket. I'm not supposed
okay,
to be that
well,
liquid.
Okay, well, Mappo, we have a structure to this, okay? We have a list. We legally have to go through this list.
All right.
Take off your clothes.
I have no clothes.
I know. I have to say this, though.
Okay.
Okay. go behind this curtain here. Take off your clothes. I don't have clothes. Fold them up in a neatly fashion.
That's done. No okay. clothes.
Now you see them. You see the bucket yes. next to you.
I'm a broom. I'm a mop. I have eyes.
Okay. Well, you don't have arms. Are we allowed to wipe you off?
Am I just? We're gonna sanitize you. You better. I'm a sanitizing product in which to sanitize with.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense. I don't think a lot of people wash the mops.
The process of dipping it in the water with soap is washing. You have no way. Oh my gosh. I don't know
mop culture. I'm sorry.
I have been trying to make it part of our world and equalizing it with the rest of your cultures.
Okay, well, you're the only living mop on this planet.
Seriously, yeah. We got Hollywood business going on here. I ran the Real Butter movie through this AI I found. It's kind of a bot thing.
Yeah, you were telling me about the bots.
This is the synopsis. You want to hear it?
Okay.
When the pandemic hit home, the theater brothers ran out of butter, ran to the movie theater to get some, and ran out again because they're too scared to go home.
What?
Peter and Theo haven't slept in the theater.
That makes no sense. They've
come to realize that their childhood dream to have the very best Buttercast theater ever is in danger. Peter was bitten by a mysterious spider while eating breakfast at a hotel.
That sounds cool.
And woke up to find the theater on fire. What? They've had to put out the fire with water, but it's not a fire that can be tamed. Theo's been on a long walk with Poppy on the beach when the pandemic struck. Peter's in the hospital, and Theo has to stay overnight. Then they have to face all the crazies that have made their lives hell. The pandemic may be over, but the Buttercast is not. Right. There are zombies here, and a whole thing of giant larvae to fight against them.
Hang on a second. There's a lot of...
Can I see that movie? I'd rather see that.
No, Mappa!
I've seen the Money Pit.
Okay, well...
I think we're ready to go.
There's a lot of moving pieces in that.
So none of it, you know, to correlate two of those things together in most of those cases is pretty hard.
The start was we have to leave the theater to get to the theater? Why not just stay in the theater? Also, I live in the theater, so why would I not live in the theater? None of that really made sense. I think you should keep programming that bot, or, hear me out, just write it yourself. You could just write it.
Oh, see, no, I did. I spent like an hour writing an original story, and then I put it into the bot, and it rewrote it.
Hang on.
Original stuff. So this is obviously much better, right?
So you wrote something original, and then you gave it to the bot, and now you're going to white out what the bot made, but you made something original.
Keep the original. The original is way better.
Real butter.
Butter.
Yeah, but it's artificial intelligence.
Okay. What?
No,
what's...
after words. You wrote the original thing before you gave it to it.
Sorry,
what
Mopos
the heck is that?
Mopos is wiping himself.
It's an aggressive way to put on a suit, I guess.
Yeah, you're catching on. Good job.
Thanks, I've always wanted to lie.
You're not lying. Why would you lie?
Are you lying right now about the lie?
Okay, my phone's ringing.
What?
Guys,
what about it?
I'm serious. I have a legit interview right here.
Okay, well, let me do the intro.
Hold on, I'm going to answer it. You go ahead and I'll be right back.
Okay, all right. Just... put the sledgehammer down.
Okay.
All right. Still coming to you from the entirely empty employee break room of the quiet and quarantined Theater Brothers Theater on the garbage-strewn outskirts of a minor lockdown American city. This is the Real Butter Buttercast.
I think it's gonna rain.
No, it's not. I'm Peter Theater.
I'm Alex.
I'm Theodore Theater. And oh, sorry. Go ahead. Yep.
Wait a second. You made us do it early, and now we screwed it up.
Yeah. Now you know how it feels to be rushed. To feel rushed. Okay. You do this to me all the time.
You're not going to believe who it is. You guys.
Who is it?
It's...
Hark! And here we go. Wax on.
Oh, what a day. What a lovely day. I got you.
Wax off.
I will look for you.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
I will find you.
Are you incapable of restraining yourself, or do you take pride in being an insufferable know-it-all?
And I will kill you.
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Somebody peed my pants.
You are a sad, strange little man.
He's had a change of heart.
A lot of good that'll do him. He's still got the same face.
All I know is that first, you've got to get mad!
Ah, a fellow checker, eh?
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
I'm very happy about that.
Surely you can't be serious.
What do you want? You want the moon?
You get
Nothing!
Nothing? Nothing? Nothing, tra-la-la?
I drink your milkshake!
And hit the spot.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Wow.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
All right, I'm in.
I got the special guest.
Who is it? Just give the name. Stop being so enigmatic.
All right, well, it's a kind of a big deal. It's a Hollywood writer-director, Brian Levant.
Brian Levant?
Are you kidding me? The guy who made Problem Child and Beethoven and the Flintstones is on the phone right now.
That's right.
You shaped my childhood, buddy. Thank you for letting us talk to you.
Oh, he's on right now.
Yeah. Right now.
Come on.
I hope you're ready.
It's in person. And I hope you guys can say the same.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
I am a person.
All right. We're batting 1,000 here.
I got to say, I'm not kidding when I say that I watched your films a lot growing up. I'm a big fan. Once I found out that you also made Jingle All the Way and Snow Dogs and Are We There Yet, I was even more impressed. I'm a big fan.
Well, that's very nice. That's very nice. So you said that you used to watch them. Why'd you stop?
Because my job, as I've been doing on this show, and I also do another show, is to try and watch stuff for them. So instead of being able to watch all the nostalgic things that I love to watch as a kid, I'm now, as an adult, watching movies as a job. So in fact, I was very happy to come back to them.
Should be a lot easier now that nothing's coming out anymore.
It's very true.
We're completely constipated. Well, they're making a big deal out of Bill and Ted's return. I know we're in trouble here.
Oh my gosh.
That's shots fired, but I love it.
That's 10 minutes on the Today Show. What does that tell you?
But I gotta say though, sitting down for the past couple weeks and not only taking time to watch the stuff I already watched, but the stuff that I hadn't seen, like your work on Leave It to Beaver in the 80s.
What a coincidence.
Impressive. I just didn't know how much you had worked in television, how much you stayed in the business, how you grew, and then I'm now working on a new book. All of this just got more and more interesting as I looked into it.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad you're doing a real deep dive into my life.
Well, mostly into your work. Mostly just into your work.
Borderline stalker.
I'm not a stalker.
You've got pictures laid out in your upstairs.
Will you not tell him that?
With string connecting all the pictures. What are you connecting?
It's my string map of connecting Brian. It's got the font isn't complete yet, so the sign isn't done yet. I'll send pictures. I've got shirts, graphs.
Shirts?
Everything. I've done my work.
In my storage thing. I have like two coffins filled with crew shirts from every project and every rap party known to man.
Wow.
Well, I also was even more impressed watching it and just finding things and patterns in your work that I found really interesting, considering that you teach writing now. And that's something that you're trying to pass on to other people.
Don't blame me for a lot of the writing in my films. I'll tell you something very, very interesting, though. You know that television is a writer's medium. Film is a director's medium. And I couldn't do to my own work what I would do to everybody else's.
Fair enough.
In order to articulate my vision.
Well, I will say that just looking at your work as a director, there are things that I noticed that I found really fun. I think your needle drops and your song choices in most of your films are
excellent.
Those
are good, yeah.
I love how music drives a lot of your set pieces.
Very little time and money on those.
Well, the end result is magic nonetheless.
Yeah, I never used to do it at all. I was not a believer in needle drops at all.
Really?
Seriously. Well, we did two in Problem Child, Whammer Jammer by the J. Kyle. And the Temptations, Getting Ready, which is also in Are We There Yet? So it must be very cheap. but as a rule, I didn't do it until Jingle All the Way. And Chris Columbus said, sold a lot of soundtrack albums, and he wanted to pepper the movie with songs. And reluctantly, I gave in and learned how stupid I'd been for the decade prior to that.
It's a smart pull for Nat King Cole to show during a montage of both the commercialization and the craziness of Christmas.
That's in the Family Fun version. We added stuff in. And so originally that montage was played under Brian Setzer's Jingle All the Way.
Oh, okay.
So when we added footage to the warehouse, we needed new music there, so we just took Jingle All the Way, put it in there, and now we had a big hole to fill, and it was a longer montage. And the way we originally did it was with the Nat King Cole song, which, if you don't know who wrote that, believe it or not, it was the Velvet Fog.
No. I spend a lot of time with people who like older music, and I've actually know that song. I've heard that plenty of times.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful too, really. But then again, Jingle was a huge failure. So maybe we were doing better before.
It's getting a bit of a resurgence, certainly an understanding. I hadn't seen it in a long time. Coming back to it now, genuinely liked it. I really think probably my favorite thing outside of the commitment that Schwarzenegger has to the craziness of all this, which along with Sinbad, I think is just being crazy. You have Phil Hartman just doing this very subtle, everyone's doing these different levels of comedy, but for some reason it still all works. By the time he is hunting for the doll and that montage happens, the pace never lets up. It's just constant. He's going for the doll. It never goes.
It's a chase scene.
Exactly. Yeah.
This is the great grandchild of Matt Sinnott. and the critics didn't take it all to the whiz bang action nonstop yuck fest that it was.
Theo and I have talked about this before about Star Wars, and I like to make the point that the moment they reach the Death Star, they never let go of the pace. And that's exactly how I felt when he decides, I'm getting this doll. When he's gone to every store and they're laughing at him, he's like, I'm not getting laughed at anymore. I'm getting this doll. At that point, it never stops. And I was like, it's the reason the jokes in Problem Child 2 work as well as they do. Those two, I think, pace-wise and tone-wise, are the closest together.
Well, no one's ever compared Jingle to Star Wars, so thank you.
That's Alex.
I look for the good and everything. There has to be merit to something, and you don't make boring. We're not talking about Plan 9 from Outer Space here. There is a lot of interviews by you that were about the book that I was interested in, but I did find one kid who went through all of your filmography and wrote this giant essay about it, and it wasn't very kind to your work. In fact, one of the things he said is how reviews are so bad about it, and maybe they're hitting, and I was like, you're not looking at the work. And so that was one of the things that geared me into watching all of them and trying to see how you went from the final episode of Beaver, where you have two people going, I don't know if I want to marry this person or not, and then the wedding just doesn't happen and he falls in love anyway. And that's exactly what Problem Child 2 was. That's what the movie is, trying to stop a wedding. How does each thing connect to each one? And honestly, I think your growth all the way to Viva Rock Vegas, where it's like a huge set and a great story. How did you get those opportunities? I think are there. And I don't think he gave you the chance in the first place.
Well, do you have this kid's address?
That's just the thing that I notice about criticism. It's that
I'm on it.
People who have been in the business. No. Yeah.
Thank you for reminding me that critics hate me. I don't think about that much anymore. So
I don't think critics give you the chance.
It's okay. I got a good book.
I just think they don't give you a chance, and I don't think he was either. And by stopping and giving you a chance myself, I got to say, I really love it.
Time, my hometown critic, Gene Siskel, sat next to me at a screening of Beethoven in Chicago, my hometown, with my mother on the other side. And you know, she's talking to him the whole time. He's laughing. And then he threw it under the bus.
Dang it.
How do you not like Beethoven?
How do you not like Beethoven? Because and I understand this. They're looking for different things. Mm-hmm. I am trying to entertain a very wide audience, and an audience that included the youngest segment of our audience, right up through grandparents. That this was an experience and a story that cut across generations and is based on a very simple premise, that it's a movie about a man learning to love outside his species. Not to name drop, I try not to, but in my first meeting with Steven Spielberg on the Flintstones, him and Kathy Kennedy are eating lunch in front of there. They're making Jurassic Park on the back lot, come into his deskless office, and there's Stubbin. He's got these little tiny, like Roger McGuinn sunglasses on, so you can't see his eyes. And then I talk like this for 10 minutes. But, you know, finally, you know, I said, dude, you're going to blow this. You know, somewhere in that beginning of trying to get myself across, like I was a human, he said, how much did Beethoven make? I said, 58. And he said, what did it do overseas? And I did 80. And he literally did a spit take with his salad. 80 million, which is this was a lot overseas. But, you know, but I think that, you know, my goal has always been very simple, really. And that is that if the sound went out in the theater, nobody should have much trouble following the movie.
I love that.
That's a good point. Yeah,
I'm all about the language of cinema. So, thank you.
That's why I think my films have done very, very well overseas. And the real crime is that two of them were never allowed to fully travel. That, you know, I mean, you know, we're talking a lot about racism in America. And, you know, it's very benign in the film industry. I'll give you a great example. Do you remember Eddie Murphy's movie, Dr. Doolittle?
Absolutely. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Remember what the poster was?
It was him with the animals?
With a bear.
Right? Oh, okay.
Right.
And you know what the poster was overseas?
No.
A bear.
Wow.
Oh.
Now, okay. Let's talk about Snow Dogs. Okay. Cuba Gooding,
yeah,
Shell Nichols, Cisco, you know, a very African-American film, you know, a real fish out of water story. And if you look at on the DVD window, the little picture on the thin side that sticks out, mm-hmm. that's not Cuba Gooding's picture.
No,
it's a dog. It's right. Demon.
Yeah.
Now, are we there yet? Are we there yet, folks? Ice Cube, right? As you've never seen him before. A big hit. And what is in the box on the DVD? Any guesses?
It's just the phrase, are you there yet?
No, it's a picture of the deer who's in one scene.
Really?
Oh, the deer?
Why?
Oh.
Why?
And so, you know, when I see that Snow Dogs, which did like 85 million.
It was number one for 3 weeks.
And was, you know, and was the number two movie. For the first two, 3 weeks it was out, the one with the helicopter going down in Africa, you know, in Mogadishu or whatever. Black Hawk Down. They didn't have the confidence that this was a story that was built not to be, certainly it was about the Black experience, but it was a universal experience.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Again, it was a man, you know, it's Beethoven except with kids instead of a dog.
I gotta be honest, the scene where he goes in to the house of his mother for the first time and looks at her things and her scarf in the picture. I loved that moment. It's a genuine moment.
And I really love when the dogs are chasing him around.
It's
you know, great.
Dennis would just put steak in it and sewed it into his jacket and told him to run.
That's awesome. I do think that's interesting. I think Theo pointed this out to me that one of the earliest shows that you had worked on was about a talking dog, that dogs have been in your work for quite some time. Puchinsky.
Oh, Puchinsky. I don't know how Puchinsky ever saw the light of day. it didn't have to be that way. People are stupid. And I was under contract at Fox, and I did 5 pilots in 1 year. And I was just, you know, back cleanup, going around helping people fix bad shows.
Oh, wow.
They came to me. David Kirshner is a wonderful friend. Lon Diamond, we did a lot of work together. Wrote the Beaver movie together and a lot of other stuff. But they didn't believe. They didn't have the faith in me, who had just won the only directing award I ever won.
Wow.
And then Fox. And they just didn't see me as the director of this. And so they hired somebody who had never shot one camera, really. A good 3-camera director. But so far out of his wheelhouse and didn't know how to shoot with the puppet, didn't know how to work with the animals. I mean, you know, the way my career has worked is everything's built on everything else. And the years that I spent on Beaver, where we had an elephant, you know, where we had snakes and spiders and dogs and cats.
Oh,
and
my.
Goats, you know, we did all kinds of animal work. And then doing Beethoven and to a lesser degree, Problem Child with a lot of animal work.
There was
some. And they just didn't take advantage of that. And that's why it's a cult classic, because it and it didn't need to be. Peter Boyle was very funny in it. George Newbern, who you know from Father of the Bride, the Steve Martin.
Oh, yeah, version. That's right.
You know, very good people. Amy Yasbeck, John Ritter's current widow, you know, was in that play. It was produced by John Ritter's company.
Wow.
Which the reasons that I ended up doing Problem Child. They hired Andy Summers from The Police to do the score. So that's great. Andy Summers is doing the score. And then we finally get the music, right? And he didn't score it. He just played against it. So, I spent years working with David Michael Frank and David Newman and people like that, you know, who score every moment it modulates with the scene and changes paces and accelerates and builds. And he just, it was different, man, because, you know, you got to hit the cuts, you know, or else it doesn't advance the picture.
Not going to flow.
And he just stared at me like, mate, I'm Andy Summers.
Wow.
So all these things that ILM built the animatronic bulldog. I can't really do this on a podcast, but imagine if you put your hands on your hips and you see how your elbows are bent. And that's the way they built the dog, despite the fact the dog's legs don't go like that. They're very short, especially on a bulldog.
Right.
So every time you cut wider than his head, it looked like he had got hit by a car.
Oh my gosh.
And the listener, he said, well, guys, you put sod on a box, you put the puppeteer under the box, and you make the box big enough, so you shoot down into the box so you see the grass, and you get the head inside. No, trust me, we know what we're doing.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyways, enough vitriol.
So I also noticed you did work on a few other shows like Bad News Bears and Happy Days and all this. How did you...
Love Bad News Bears.
There's a guy who makes documentaries on YouTube, and I just watched about 40-minute thing on it. Just Jack Warden looked so good. It looked like such a good show.
Oh, Jack was great. Jack was great, and spent much too much time in his trailer drinking scotch at the end of the day. Because working with kids, it frustrated him. You know, Jack, once again, I do Bad News Bears with Jack Warden. Right.
Yeah.
And Jack Warden was also in Topper, the Kate Jackson, Andrew Stevens version that I did a little work on for them. Really? We were friends at the time.
Huh. Wow.
And now it comes time for Problem Child 2, right? And I'm leaving TV to go to try and get a job in the movies. And here it is. It's John Ritter's the star. Well, John Ritter just produced two pilots for his company. Amy Yazbek was in the pilot and in Problem Child 2. Jack Warden in Problem Child 2. We shot in Orlando, where I'd opened the studio there for Universal several years before and developed the protocols that the studio used and trained a generation of crew there as well.
Wow.
And knew my way around town. And so, you know, and it didn't hurt that in the middle of my meeting with John Ritter on it, you know, he started to say something to me. Brian, do you know what the difference is between film and TV? And he was going to start lecturing me. And then his assistant comes, Henry Winkler's on the phone. Obviously, he called Henry Winkler to check me out because, you know, I was on Happy Days.
Oh, wow.
And he came back in and he never finished the sentence and we were good to go. Careers are built and they're built a brick at a time, you know, and I've been fortunate and been lucky enough to work beside and learn from a lot of people.
As I was watching your work, I was making a giant list of everyone that I recognized that you had been working with and some behind the scenes people as I did research. And
are those the pictures with the string and everything?
That is where the, yeah, red string leads to everything. I've been to all of their houses. I've taken, like, I'm getting in depth here, guys. I know what I'm doing.
That's creepy.
Yes, I'm leaving the theater to do it.
Reading interview. You married?
No.
I didn't think so.
I'm an absolute nerd. No.
He's married.
I'm on a podcast with three other guys about movies. No,
he's married.
I'm a 30-something year old white guy on a podcast talking about movies. I'm perfectly single. Thank you very much.
Well, you're not single. You're married to the Theater Brothers Theater.
Wait, am I legally? Is there paperwork?
No, we
are. Oh, man.
Yes.
No. I didn't know. I got...
you guys should do a drive-in.
Well, here's the thing. This theater's been around since 1950. These guys are really big about it. They like the whole... They don't want to change it. Theo doesn't want to change it. He doesn't even live here and he doesn't want
to
change it.
I forgot to mention that I may have started to throw down some walls.
What? Are you trying to turn the theater into a drive-in
theater?
Well,
I had to tear some walls down put some walls up.
Man, that's how we
get... Wait, what?
But I...
The virus.
Hang a string. throw a sheet over it, you know?
Well, I ran out of money.
Oh, dude, we haven't been having enough customers for you to, like, throw money.
So is it just sort of a drive-up movie theater now?
Well,
you just sort of drive up and look through the hole?
Well, you can drive to the theater. I can't promise that you'll...
Socially distancing. So are you playing Tenant?
Well, that's the hope.
We're playing the trailer for Tenet several times in a row on a TV with the magnifying glass in a room with one chair.
Yeah, we had to throw out all the chairs for social distancing purposes. Yeah. And everyone that goes to the movie has to wear a hazmat suit. There's like a 20-minute process
we're
of hosing
them
down.
We're losing more money than we're making some, that's for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know that drill.
Real.
Butter.
Theodore Theater is a tough, ill-mannered private eye / movie theater manager who is crushed to death in the line of duty.
Theo! Oh my god, look out! Those popcorn seeds, they're gonna fall on you! Those things are like 50 pounds per bag! Oh my god, they're falling!
But that's not the end of his story, because he's been reincarnated.
Surprise, losers!
As a streetwise popcorn, Real Butter presents Pop Chinsky.
What do you do now?
First I'm gonna lick myself. Salty.
Oh, God.
And then I'm gonna kill my killer.
The talking popcorn teams up with his astonished former employee to put the butter in the gutter.
Baby, I become a popcorn.
It's all sinking in now. Life is poignant. It's precious. It's unforgettable. You are a popcorn.
I'm a private eye / manager.
This is ridiculous.
You're ridiculous. You're stupid. Why are you always on my case, huh? Well, why can't I be on your case?
Well, you can now, because you're a private... No, you're still popcorn.
Yeah, see? You can't... No matter what I do, I can't win. I'm screwed if I do. I'm screwed if I don't.
It's okay.
Stick to the script.
Yeah, stick to the script. Why am I you? That doesn't even make any sense. I'm me.
Plus, the script is done. And also, you're a popcorn.
Poppy, you gotta understand that these things aren't real.
No, butter.
I know it. You're stupid. Shut up.
Gotcha.
The Real Butter Buttercast.
For the Real Butter Buttercast. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Tumblr for more behind-the-scenes shenanigans. You can be a big-time Hollywood podcast producer for as little as 99 cents a month. Just go to our anchor.fm page and click the support button. And remember to subscribe, like, and review the Buttercast. 5 stars reviews only.
Poppy, what are you doing?
Oopsies.
Come on. We have to get back to the show, dude. Let's go.
Coming! 5 stars or else.
Poppy!
What?
It looks painful. I know they're not real, but it looks painful just like pushing the hairs into like fake flesh.
Real.
Butter.
Here's one thing I want to say before we step away from Problem Child 2. One of my favorite moments, I have to say,
audience zero. Let's be clear.
Oh my god, that is my favorite of the movies that I watched. It's the one that has stuck in my head the most since I was a child. I remember so much about that movie. My favorite moment coming back to it now is when they put the firecracker in the toilet. The teacher runs. He's gonna take it. The shot of his shoes of the explosion. The shoes going up. Then the water, then him and his face. Oh my god,
the relief.
Beautiful.
The relief.
You've seen that in movies before, but that execution is wonderful.
We blew a mannequin out of his shoes that were glued to the floor.
Yes!
And then there's enough light to blow out the lens.
Oh.
So you have one frame of pure white, and then we had, I'm sorry, I can't remember his name. He's from Back to the Future.
Me too, James, I couldn't get it either.
I remember his name, who played the teacher. It was great. And he was just, you know, standing with his legs on apple boxes on either side of his toilet and just dropped down.
The look of just relief on his face is so funny. Such a great moment.
It's such a cartoon.
Classic humor. This is, yeah.
Exactly.
He's doing the comedian. Okay.
I had no problem with it. I thought it was actually perfect.
You know... the challenge of that movie was to deliver huge revenge jokes. And that's what we spent all our time doing.
No, yeah.
And, you nailed it.
You know, we actually did a thing just a couple of years ago for the John Ritter Foundation. And the little girl, Ivy Ann Schwan, and Michael Oliver, the problem child, were there. And, Scott Alexander, Larry Karaszewski, the writers, and Amy, the kid who played Murph, now down 150 pounds.
Good for him.
but in the same wardrobe. And it was great to see him. And, you know, and Michael Oliver really had an unearned reputation. His mother hurt his standing with the studio and with everybody. But I got along great with him because, see, once again, how do things add up? They had trouble with the kid. I had no trouble with the kid. I gave his brother his SAD card on Happy Days. And the last episode of Happy Days, his brother was the kid Fonzie adopted.
What?
And would have been in the series had the series gone to a 12th year. Yeah. Wow. So, and you know, Dennis Dugan's made a lot of fine films, but I can honestly say he did not communicate with children well.
I got to be honest. I like the second one more than I like the first one.
Well, I do too, but and have you ever seen Three? Is very funny too.
I have not. No, Junior in Love. I haven't seen it yet. I was thinking about it, but you weren't involved, and I'm like, I have a lot to watch, so I'm going to step aside.
When we saw the ratings that Problem Child and Problem Child 2 are getting on network TV, Bob Simons, you know, now owns SDX Studios, and I looked at each other, and we went to NBC, and we got a 3-picture deal for more Problem Child films.
Wow.
But after the first one, they lost their appetite for it. Jack Warden, Gottfried continued on with it.
It would have been so interesting with you involved because of your history with Beaver. I mean, Problem Child is just an extreme version of like a Beaver.
Problem Child is much more like my real life, raising an oppositionally defiant child.
Well, I did see it a lot in the work. I saw it in Beaver. I saw it in that. I saw it with Bam Bam and the Flintstones. It happens a lot.
Yeah, you know, kid stuff. Fun.
Fair enough.
Always, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe some of the problem there is just because dark comedy doesn't, it's a hard one for a mass audience, generally, like as a genre?
I don't think I've ever done dark comedy. I guess Problem Child was, but I never thought of it that way. So, to me, I made it colorful and fun. And,
agreed.
And a couple of things, they wanted me to shoot extra shots to show that he didn't kill anybody.
Right.
There's a lot of people who should be dead in that movie, yeah.
I'll tell you. So the initial Problem Child, when they went to... Now, remember, it was a movie and they had to do a lot of reshooting. So it was supposed to cost like $6 million. Ended up costing like $16-17.
That's Dugan's Problem Child? And it
made $53 million, and it made it fast.
Oh.
Right? So they rushed the second one into production. But... oh, that's a long story. We don't want to go there. Let's talk about something more fun than Problem Child.
I did want to ask a question a little bit about Beethoven a bit and how you stepped in from that from Problem Child. Yeah.
Yeah, well, okay. So they had a little problem on Beethoven. They'd hired a director, and he prepped the movie. He, everything was going good until they got to the set. And he had a psychological block against making a shot of the dog.
Huh.
The summer before, he'd been attacked by a dog and had like 300 stitches in one arm, and couldn't get past it. And so basically, they very much liked Problem Child. I mean, like I'll tell you the story. So at the first preview, the first one had tested a 29, right?
Wow.
and I thought we'd be in big trouble when Tom Pollock, the chairman of Universal, during the 500 gallons of puke spewing scene, you know, hits over his eyes and almost started, he's going, oh, oh, oh. And I said, oh, well, we're in great shape. And it scored a 66. They were so happy.
Oh, my gosh.
They were ecstatic. They're jumping up and down and throwing confetti. That it was such an improvement.
Wow.
Just add barf. That's a good tip.
Are you writing that down?
Yeah, I'm going to write that down.
For what?
No, no.
I make very good barf. Vegetable soup, alphabet soup,
okay.
And methyl celluloid, and some tricks for color.
Great. Okay. Now I know how to get out of work.
I heard some good things about clam chowder.
clam chowder is too white. It's gonna blow up.
Yeah, it's very true.
You want more you want it to stick and run. That's what the methyl cellulose.
Yeah.
And what did you use for Beethoven's slopper?
Methyl cellulose.
Okay, so this is coming in very handy. I should stock up on this.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, if you look at the scene with Chuck Grodin getting slimed, what that is about four or five people with, 8-inch paintbrushes and buckets of methyl cellulose. So we go, 1, 2, 3, go! 1, 2, 3, go! 1, 2, go! Go, go! Just constantly hitting. And it wasn't shot in slow motion. He's acting in slow motion.
Oh, okay.
Smart.
Earn your paycheck, Grodin.
Yeah.
Grodin's great. He really was. He was a lot of fun to work with. Dean Jones, who I grew up, admiring on TV and in the movies, was a wonderful, wonderful man. And he only did like one other thing after that. He was a deeply religious guy. And I tried to get him in a pilot I wrote, and it was too offbeat for him, But what a delight, and what a good actor, I mean, look at the cast. I did not put that cast together. I was brought in after the guy who couldn't shoot the dog, and I think I was brought in because they couldn't get anybody cheaper. Because you signed a deal with the studio to make your first film, you're an indentured servant, And your next couple of films are dictated what you make. And so they could pay me virtually nothing. And I was happy to take it. And before we'd even finished post-production on Problem Child, I took the reins. I read the script on Wednesday, met Chuck Grodin on Thursday and Ivan Reitman on Thursday, two separate meetings. And Monday started shooting. I didn't know anybody's name. Know anybody on the crew. The crew hated me. They were all, they were loyal to the director. Eventually, I won a couple of them over, including Victor Kemper, a brilliant, brilliant cinematographer who did all Sidney Lumet's, Dog Day Afternoon, all of John Cassavetes, and he's doing Beethoven. we got along great. And I won them over by, I'm a dog, but we have four Newfoundlands, about 600 pounds of animal here that we live with and unfortunately sleep with, And so Carl Miller, the dog trainer on Beethoven, hated me. First day, he brings over the dog and he's having him walk backward on an 8x10 plank and stuff. And he looks at me and goes, huh? How about this? I said, I don't want to do any of that crap. All I want to do is eat off plates, drink out of the toilet, and mess everything up.
Be a dog.
And from that point on, he didn't talk to me for a month, but I didn't know it.
Oh my gosh.
I wasn't, it meant so little to me.
Wow.
We just say, all right, I just say, hey, don't give him any water for an hour and a half. And then, then we make a goldfish bowl with a better glass bottom and put a camera underneath, put it on top of a table, and let the dog loose, and he goes to drink out of it. Show it to him once, take him out, he'll go.
Right.
He's a natural.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, animals can, it's understanding what they really can do, which is basically go in a shot from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't expect much more. But you have to provide the context for the emotion, for the feelings, for the point of view. And that's the director's job, is to put you in the head of a Saint Bernard.
I was going to say, that's probably my favorite thing about Beethoven as I was watching it. Once you start getting in the perspective of just his day of going from, I'm locked in a cage, I'm going to burrow out this hole, I'm going to do some errands, save a girl from a pool, come back. You have different shots, some of them at his point of view, some of him walking all over the place. Really just
a few shots saved us. Because anything we couldn't get the dog to do, his point of view will accomplish very easily.
Yeah, that is very pretty smart. Yeah.
So smiles walking around with this thing underhung on a stick.
But it also just, it helps you, it does a lot more. It helps you empathize with the dog in the situation, considering it's just.
Right. But that's, how else are you going to do it? You have to use the tools to supply what nature doesn't.
And with very few people siding with you, that's must have been very hard to do. Wow, I can't believe you got that much done considering the situation.
No, you know, I've been on hostile sets before. I didn't work in Mindy. No, Robin and I were very good friends until I came to work on the show.
Oh, wow.
I replaced people who him and Pam liked very much and took control away from other people who'd been there from the start.
Yeah.
You know, it took them a long time to realize that I was there to help them execute better and not be so dependent on this wild comedy genius saving their bacon every Friday night. It's our shoot.
Yeah, that's a lot like any job. Like here at the theater, we've had same thing with people. You know, they come in and they haven't been with us. They're not a part of the family. They're new. And so you get defensive. You get you feel like they can't help, like they never see the picture in the first place. It's got to happen a lot in the business, I would think. Any job, TV, commercial.
Yeah, and they spill drinks on the floor.
Don't get me started.
I spilled a massive spill a little bit ago. It was a big deal for him. It took an entire episode for him to clean up.
Slop thing.
It was a lot.
Well, we might need to. Should we have a poppy round here?
Yeah, I was a bit concerned. I didn't want, you know, Brian to be put off of Poppy because, you know, how Poppy can get. I put him in a shoebox, so I don't know if he's conscious.
Forewarning, Brian, he's a temperamental piece of popcorn.
You got to take a fork and poke holes in these things.
All right. I mean, I can go and get him. Keep talking. I'll go get him.
All right. Well, Poppy is a little bit of aggressive. He's a tiny popcorn. He became sentient a little bit ago, and he has just been really mad about that ever since. He's likes to get in people's way, but he's a big fan of your work. He's been watching it with us. He's liked a lot of it.
Yeah. Sure, from the floor.
We raise him up. Yeah. He's on our shoulders, and we put him on a table. If he's on the floor, he gets real mad and pokes us with toothpicks. It's not fun.
Hello?
Hey, Poppy. Hey, yeah, Brian's on the phone.
Brian.
Mr. Levant.
Is this live?
This is live. He can hear you.
I can't understand a word he says. This is going to be great.
Oh, come on! he said, oh, come on, in a very nice tone.
No, I didn't.
Okay, he said no, he didn't, in also a very nice
tone. Stop repeating what I'm saying!
So you translate everything. Is this it?
No, but if it needs to be done, I'll do it. Poppy, why don't you get a little bit closer and maybe he can hear you?
Okay, fine. I've got a few questions. The first one is, what is it like working with dinosaurs?
I heard dinosaurs.
Yes, what is it like working with dinosaurs?
Well, Jesus, James Coburn and Elizabeth Taylor weren't that old.
Yes! Oh, I love it. Oh, dirty burn. Oh, once those two come on the show, they're not going to be happy to hear about that.
Well, Poppy, you got to understand that those dinosaurs weren't real. We run into this problem a lot where Poppy doesn't know that he doesn't.
Yeah, he can't tell. He thinks Star Wars is real, stuff like that.
It is!
It's certainly not. I've clarified this plenty of times, Poppy.
Yeah, he did not actually work with dinosaurs, but those dinosaurs were pretty cool.
Those were great
especially
dinosaurs.
Especially the animatronics. I love that sort of stuff.
That was Jim Henson, right? Jim Henson Productions?
Some of the most talented people I've ever met in my life. That Henson Creature Shop was in this huge old factory on Oval Road on an old river, and it was freezing in the winter. But they were working miracles everywhere you looked.
I know.
And decency and craftsmanship.
It's real life magic.
You said four movies, so I'm assuming the two Flintstones. What were the other ones?
Well, two Flintstones, you'd be surprised, in Snow Dogs. We had an animatronic demon. Just think about when the dogs drive him out of the house, and he creeps back to the window, and he looks up, and the dog pops in at the exact moment.
Oh, I forgot about that.
If somebody's sitting underneath him and pulling the dog up, and eventually get mad enough to growl.
Well, obviously, yeah, they were good, because I did not recognize those moments. What was the fourth one?
That's their magic. You know, they got one poor woman there put over 40,000 hairs in that dog.
Wow!
Oh my gosh, that's a lot of hair. That's more hair than Alex has.
Well,
and you've got a lot of hair. Dude.
I don't, really. I don't have a lot.
Yes, 10,000. Don't worry. So a dog has considerably more.
I don't know how I would handle that job. Wow. That's passion right there.
Yeah, you're just plucking them in. You're just poke and poke.
Right. It's the opposite of depilation. Is that what it's called?
It looks painful. I know they're not real, but it looks painful just like pushing the hairs into like fake flesh.
Don't worry, they can't feel a thing.
Good to know. I also loved Colburn and Snow Dogs too. His relationship with Cuba Gooding, those moments are really great, but also even just that speech he gives Demon before he starts the race is really good. Especially since that was his last one, right?
He did one more after that. Okay. But he died very soon after it. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a great guy. We closed down a lot of bars. But I'll tell you a great story. One night we were up in the Canadian Rockies, up in Canmore, and a bunch of people went out for dinner together. Coburn, the art department, my wife was up there. We went, maybe 10 people, and Coburn, how about we start with a little champagne? And shall we have a cocktail? How about some wine with dinner?
Whoa.
Perhaps a little grappa for dessert.
It's a party.
Walk out. He came with us, and we walk out the door into a blizzard. I'm standing behind him. I don't know how he's standing up. Right? He's walking across the street. I'm behind him, waiting to catch him when he falls. And he turns to my wife and he goes, "Give me the keys. I'll drive."
Oh, gosh.
All right. You are drunk. Did you see Le Mans?
Oh, man.
Before that, a friend of his was renting a neighbor's house, and he shows up one day in that yellow Ferrari that they paid. That's what he got paid for the second in like Flint movie.
Whoa.
What? Right. And so he always drove that around. And at his funeral, somebody told an amazing story. I'll share this with you. So the guy said he had a friend from Australia, and he went to Beverly Hills to see movie stars, right?
Yeah.
And sure enough, at the intersection of Little Santa Monica and Beverly Boulevard, there, Beverly Drive, up to the stoplight, tools James Coburn in the yellow Ferrari with the top down. He's got gray hair down to his shoulders. He's wearing a white silk shirt open to his navel. He's smoking a cigar the size of a girl strong. He's got some hottie sitting next to him in a tiny mini skirt. And the guy from Australia looks down and goes, "James Coburn, how's it going?" Coburn looks at him, looks around, and goes, "How's it look?" And the light city drove off.
No way. He's so cool.
Gnarly. Oh, that's the best.
Oh, I better save that line.
Oh, man.
Write that line down.
Oof. I'm going to use that the next time I'm in somewhere that is not as cool as that.
Well, that's impossible because you're in lockdown, remember?
Oh, but except I went out to go hunt the people and do that research.
Yeah, you better go.
I'm not happy. But I was doing massive, mysterious stalkerish
research.
It's
weird, man.
But it's what I do. I don't kidnap people like Theo does.
Well, that was one time. Only one time.
He was very happy. He lost a lot of weight.
Which was weird.
It was very relaxing to be in my basement for a while.
The syndrome will do that for you.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was.
What? That's our last guest. I didn't feel the need to do it this time.
Yeah, thanks for not kidnapping Brian.
All right, okay. Wow. Okay, Doc. Bach, calm down. Calm down. Bach, you going to... The ground's starting to sound kind of cool. You beatbox, Bach? That is a bark. All right, okay. All right. Okay, come on, feel the rhythm, Bach. Come on. I knew it. Knew it had it in you. Ooh. And it's dirty, too. Almost like you've been rolling around in the mud. And then you care so much, giving so much love to your owner. Spike dirt, eating mud, and drive her all over the shirt. Dogs bark all night at the moon. At night
while they sign their laws. We dirty up the room with our dirty pots. My name is Volt Art. I'm passing this rap cause my beats and rhymes are art. If you don't know that you are gonna blow your fart on a door that is gonna get you back for that, it's not the start. All I know is that bone is mine and we're gonna go toe-to-toe. Leash me up cause you can't hold me back. Gonna put your butt before I take a nap. And if this sack is getting full of toys, we're gonna kill joy this joyful time.
Oh man,
Bach, how do you pronounce your name, Bach? Darn right. We're getting you down and dirty with us. We all in the mud now, and that's why we're gonna party at my doghouse tonight. Good boy. Good boy. Have a treat. Have a treat. Give a treat. Good boy.
Before we go, I just wanted to tell you that for the past 10 years, I've been trying to do something that ties together all my work and my toy collecting, which is a drug that I have never tired of, and unlike the rest of them. And so, along with my brother-in-law, who's one of the top commercial photographers in the country, every Subway sandwich you've ever seen for the last 12 years on a magazine, a billboard, or in a store, he shot. Wow. So together we shot about 7,000 shots of my toys, and it's taken me years and years, 10 years now, to put it all together. Wow. And just finished that, and it's a great reflection on not only of my work and all the toys and games and books and everything that have been associated with everything, Happy Days and Mork and Mindy and the Flintstones and the Flintstone movie and Satchel Paige bobbleheads and all the other things I collect, Western things, science fiction, Hulk Hogan, advertising figures. And it's a beautiful 500-page book. And just wow. Before I got on with you guys, I think we are finalizing a deal for a publisher. I was going to do it independently, but better they hawk it down a street corner right. than me, I think.
Right.
so I'm very interested about that, and that's a big capper to a 45 years out here. And not that I'm done. There is currently in development at Illumination Pictures an original CGI musical that I supplied the original story for, that's being produced, and the music, the song's written by Pharrell Williams. So very excited about that as well. So hanging and teaching at the University of New Mexico, my alma mater, and the University of Arizona, where I went for a semester, but they call me an alumni. I would call me a slacker there. I went to Cal Arts for a while, and I didn't like that. And I had 9 of my best friends from high school were in Tucson. 7 were in school and 2 were dealing drugs. So I went there for a semester and they've welcomed me as part of the community. I don't know how to explain it.
Well, we wanted to get into the book a little bit as well. But one more question about film, and it has to do with teaching. I saw a great video about you working with young kids about pitching and how to get their ideas together for a sitcom. Is there any information or is there any advice you have to give anyone who wants to get into the field of either sitcom writing or writing in general, or anyone that might be interested in what you offer in your class?
I think when people walk into a room today, what they want to know, particularly in the comedy world, is what's your relationship to the material? You know, and that's why you're seeing so many autobiographical shows today.
Fair.
Because they're a little more real, and when it's the actual person, whether it be Pamela Alden or Louis C.K., Larry David, remember Chris Rock show? Everybody Hates Chris a few years back. The Goldbergs is probably the most personal show that's ever been on TV.
Really?
So people want to know, and it's a great way, because when you walk into an office for the first time, especially at the beginning of your career, and you don't have credits that anyone would know, the first thing they say to you is, tell us about yourself. So we do a class where we develop autobiographical sitcoms as a way for people to learn how to sell themselves and their ideas and monetize them, hopefully. But there's a way to organize thoughts and present it clearly. And I've done this six times now at the University of New Mexico, and primarily with the Hanson Film TV Foundation there in Arizona. And an amazing array of lives and stories. You know, and the first time I did it, I walked into a classroom and they're predominantly 18, 19-year-old Caucasian kids. And I said, oh, my God, I just realized they have no experiences to draw on. And I was very wrong. Everyone's life is unique. And trying to make sense of it and find the humor in it, tell people who you are, I think it are great things for people to have. You know, I made my living pitching. You know, a lot of, you know, my writing was probably never as good as I was in the room at getting people excited about the material. But not everyone can rely on sparkling energy and personality like yours truly. anyway, one more, then I gotta go.
Will, can I just run by you my pitch? It's not comedy, but it is biographical.
It's about
Theodore Theater, who's obviously like the handsome older brother who co-runs a movie theater, and his little brother Peter's kind of a doofus.
I'm not.
You know, he's kind of bored. Just wait, Peter. Okay, so you know, it's kind of a boring life running the movie theater. He's got all the responsibility. Everyone looks to him for leadership. And one day he decides to go out on the road with Poppy, the popcorn, who I've considered switching out with a dog character. I don't know what your thoughts are on that. But basically they head out. They have some experiences on the road. You know, his truck burns down. He gets chased around this small town when Poppy kind of betrays him and pretends he's like, he says, you guys can talk to my talking popcorn. And then he doesn't say anything. He's just a popcorn in his hand. And then everyone beats him up because they think he's crazy. He eventually gets to L.A. and he sort of becomes a private eye. And he meets this older actress and he moves in with her. And then the pandemic strikes and he doesn't really know what to do. So he starts a podcast.
What?
I don't know. I need an ending.
I'm afraid that sounds like Sunset Boulevard. You're apt to find him floating in a melted pad of butter.
Well, that could tie in quite nicely. Butter is kind of a thematic thing here.
No, he's just going to wide out Sunset Boulevard now and take that script and make it his own.
This is what Theo does.
I like the butter idea. It's enough just to see him floating in golden butter while like...
Face down.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, oh. You got to put a mirror at the bottom of the pool.
Strangely enough, Sunset Boulevard, Billy Wilder, they didn't like his original opening.
Really?
His original opening was to dolly across the morgue. And finally come to William Holden, you know, with the sheet over him, and he sits up and goes, "Let me tell you how I got here."
Okay, yeah, like, okay.
Holding the pool and people pulling him out and getting that shot underwater of him just, you know, ugh.
Yeah, I think that's better. I like Billy Wilder, and he's a genius, but that mirror at the bottom of the pool shot is great.
Hey, the man is terribly, terribly underrated. Last story about Billy Wilder. You know, the Marx Brothers basically broke up in 1951 and they did a terrible, terrible pilot together that was unreleasable in 1957 or 8.
Ooh, wow.
They might have gone out on a high note when Billy Wilder and IAL Diamond were in New York promoting Some Like It Hot. They happened to be there at the exact same time that Nikita Khrushchev, the Soviet premier, had stormed the United Nations and everything. The whole city was clogged to death. And the guy's pounding shoe on the desk, demanding to be heard. And it was a circus. And so they're caught in the middle of all this. And they decided, well, this is great. Let's do a quasi sequel to Duck Soup with the Marx Brothers. And they came back and they spent a week and a half working out a story. And then Billy Wilder calls Groucho and he says, "Groucho got a great project for you and the brothers." Ooh. And he's, "Don't bother, Chico's dying."
Oh, man. I love the Marx Brothers. Oh, I'm pro Marx Brothers over Stooges, to be honest.
I met Groucho once, and I learned something very important, that a man doesn't get a nickname like that in 1913 for no reason.
Yes, that makes sense.
But
yeah.
I am very good friends with his grandson, Andy, who I did a project with, and is a wonderful guy.
Gosh, well, I thank you so much.
Yeah, this was crazy. I didn't know Theo had it in him to be able to find you and for you to be willing to deal with him and Poppy, who I put back in a box.
Yeah, we're terribly happy that we stopped quarantining a mop so we can watch the movie and talk to him.
Very important.
Well, he's passed out, so I don't think the holes are worth it anymore.
He does like to breathe really hard and pass out a lot, though. That's a thing that he does.
It's better that way.
It's been a pleasure, and as they used to say on Siskel and Ebert, we'll see you at the movies, okay?
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Bye now. So I get out of here. I must have it. Oh, there we go.
Real.
Butter.
y'all. It's Shoshana, and this here is my best friend, Waylon. We're coming to you from the heart of the jungle. Don't be scared, Waylon, because we've got kombucha. We're here squishing up a special batch of my homemade Eye of the Tiger kombucha right between my toes. There's 4 billion itty-bitty organisms in every bottle. That's 4 billion little fellas just itching to wiggle their way into your body. Shh. Quiet now. Can you hear them? They're saying they love you. My Eye of the Tiger kombucha is gonna tighten up that gut, rosy up them cheeks, and keep you from passing out in the middle of Walmart. Here's a couple of happy folks to tell you all about it.
I used to have real bad acne. My face was a mess. Children used to laugh and point. My friends called me Pizza Face. My mother as well, also the Pizza Face thing. One day, my girlfriend says, "You should drink this." I said, "No way, that's pond scum." She said, "It's kombucha." I said, "No way, I can see tadpoles in there." She said, "I lost 15 pounds in 3 days drinking this. It will clear your skin right up." I said, "Let me at it." I gagged it down. Passed out. Next day, my skin's clear. Day after that, I've got a deep tan. Day after that, my skin's glowing. In the dark. I can walk around in the dark. I don't need a flashlight. My girlfriend says, "I'm worried. I don't think that's healthy." I said, "I don't need you anymore. I've got amazing skin, thanks to Shoshana and her cha-cha-cha kombucha."
I had real low energy. I used to live in the basement, in my parents' basement, and you know, they say, get a job, and I'd say, I will, but I couldn't get up because I was playing video games. And so basically, I took it, and then my energy went up. I started working out again. I started feeling good. I got a new job. I got married. I bought a house. I bought a new convertible. And then, you know, everything was going really good, except the only problem, the only downside really that I could think of is that I want to fight all the time.
My wife is an award-winning gardener. Her tulips and orchids are enormous and brightly colored. One day I asked her, "How do you get such results?" She said, "I use this amazing new thick drink that I bought from this strange man with a pushcart. It's called cha-cha-cha kombucha." I said, "Isn't kombucha for human consumption?" She said, "Don't be ridiculous. This stuff looks disgusting." I said, "No. Let me try that." I did. 2 weeks later, I felt 6 to 8 weeks younger. My hair began to regrow. I felt youthful, vibrant. My arthritis, which had been troubling me for quite some time, began to clear up. I noticed I was more flexible than I had ever been before. I was able to bend my arms forward and backward. In fact, I have no restrictions on my movement at all. I can move them in any direction, flop them around like a small octopus. I can wrap my arms around her like an octopus and pull her close, and she says, "Please, it's slightly disturbing," and I said, "No, go with it." Now every time that strange man with the pushcart comes around, I buy at least 3 2-liter jugs from him. I feel like a new man. In fact, I don't even feel like a man. I feel like an octopus man with hair on his head. A full, thick, luscious head of hair on his head.
Some people have had changes in behavior, hostility, agitation, depressed mood, suicidal thoughts, or actions after drinking Shoshana's Eye of the Tiger kombucha. Some people have had these symptoms when they first drank Shoshana's Eye of the Tiger kombucha, and others developed them after several weeks of consumption, or after they stopped drinking Shoshana's Eye of the Tiger kombucha. If you, your family, or caregiver notice agitation, hostility, depression, or changes in behavior, thinking, or mood that are not typical for you, or you develop suicidal thoughts or actions, anxiety, bubble gut, panic, aggression, anger, mania, hot snake, abnormal sensations, hallucinations, paranoia, or confusion, stop drinking Shoshana's Eye of the Tiger kombucha and call your doctor right away. Also tell your doctor about any history of depression or other mental health problems before drinking Shoshana's Eye of the Tiger kombucha, as these symptoms may worsen while drinking Shoshana's Eye of the Tiger kombucha. Some people have serious skin reactions while drinking Shoshana's Eye of the Tiger kombucha, some of which can become life-threatening. These can include rash, swelling, redness, and peeling of the skin. Some people can have allergic reactions to Shoshana's Eye of the Tiger kombucha, some of which can be life-threatening and include swelling of the face, mouth, and throat. If you have these symptoms or have a rash of peeling skin or blisters in your mouth, stop drinking Shoshana's Eye of the Tiger kombucha and get medical attention right away.
Call 1-800-SHOSHANA today. That's 1-800-SHSHNNA. Shoshana. Today to start your kombucha journey. Just don't call me after 7 or before 9 a.m.
Hey, Elijah.
You hear that? Just like Sunset Boulevard.
I mean, I guess.
It's like, you know, he certainly saw something in there that reminded him of it, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And then there was the connection with the Marx Brothers and that sort of tradition of theater and vaudeville. And obviously, yeah. You know, he's pretty close with Steven Spielberg, as he said. So it's kind of a no-brainer. Real butter movie on its way. I'm going to probably sell my shares in the theater.
Oh,
just what? Really go for it now, you know?
Wow, I guess. Why are you
yeah,
so
I'll just find like whatever person wants to buy it off me and they can have 60% control of the theater.
Wait, what? You have 60% control?
Maybe you should just give it to your brother.
Yeah.
Me, who's the one at the theater.
I would do that.
But
you know, rent's not cheap in Los Angeles, buddy, and there's just economic realities.
Well,
you're the one who left in the first place.
Yeah, you went out there.
I don't know if you heard. I'm going to be the next Billy Wilder. I can't be kind of weighed down with these responsibilities.
He did not say that.
When did he say this?
Why do you have to take on the responsibilities of the next Billy Wilder? Nobody believes that right now. I mean, he's suggesting.
Just connect the dots.
What dots? I made the strings in my room. Those are different dots. Like, oh, those were different dots?
He's talking about some other thing that's not really a thing.
Because I don't need that wall anymore. Is that what you're saying?
You can keep the wall. You spent a lot of time on it. Really a long time.
Wait, he's not giving me a wall.
What?
Did I hear you say you knocked down the section of a wall?
No. I mean, yes.
That's going to really hate the, you know, it's going to hurt the resale value. I need you to maybe stick up some movie posters over the hole, okay?
Well, that's a lot of movie posters.
We need it for the drive-in idea.
But we kind of ran out of money to really fix the wall that we may have torn down a little too much. So.
But it's big. We need the walls big enough for them to see.
Yeah, but there's
can people park in the lot and actually see through the hole?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a tree there.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I mean, we just have to
look. I came into the project a little bit later. They took me in very gracefully.
Wait a minute. What do you mean they? Whose idea was this?
Well, Peter's. Peter was the one who said I want to drive in theater when he walked in and saw Poppy and I breaking down the walls.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
I should have known.
Well, I wanted to show how strong I am. The strength in my arms since I've been rejuvenated.
Yeah, when you got rejuvenated by
I've been working on my costume. Yeah, since a few episodes ago. Yeah, I was in there. Did you guys ever see The Dark Knight?
It
was
not this again, man.
Rachel, you know, yeah.
Rachel.
No, that was my thing. I said that thing. You know, you were there when I said it, so that's certainly a
possibility. I was there when you said it after I said it.
It's like a lot of things we say, you know?
Yeah, I do know.
I'm saying that I'm working on my costume and I'm getting it out there and I'm
you better not go out there again because you were out there
quite a lot. I did all that research to do the Packers thing.
You didn't need to go out and about.
Yeah, well, it turns out I didn't have the pandemic. I was the butter in the chrysalis and I'm feeling better now. I feel butter. I'm not scared to go out anymore, even though I didn't want out in the first place that got me possibly sick, maybe with the butter. It's a long story. It's an episode. You go back to the episode and listen to it. Cut 2 weeks ago. And, you know, the costume's going to be great.
Okay. Well, I'm done fighting this. You pursue your heroic dreams.
You know what, Theo? Peter's been walking around here like he's too good for this place.
What?
Like something like he's just over it. But you know what? The honest story is,
we
need you, Peter. And we love you, Peter. And you're great.
This doesn't
at
seem real.
Up the spills I make and, right, you know, taking responsibility for
look,
the other messes I make.
I can't be weighed down with all these day to day concerns at the theater.
Uh-huh.
I told you guys in the last episode that I'm trying to write a script a day. It turned out to be very difficult. So I'm using a lot of technology and a lot of caffeine. I mean, okay, check this out. I got a movie pitch generator. All right, you want one? It'll just come up with it right now. You ready?
That's the AI thing you were talking about.
No. I'm going to do it live on the air.
Okay.
You ready?
Okay.
And go. Okay. Morgan Freeman blackmails a corrupt politician into forgetting the names of all the colors.
I gotta be honest, it was that worthwhile day in the 70s where that politician forgot what Pumpernickel was and entirely lost his campaign.
You know Morgan Freeman is colorblind, right?
Morgan Freeman is
colorblind. Oh my god, see? And so that he's been waiting for this role.
Wow.
So, okay.
That's an incredible
one, two, three. Here's a new one.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage is a medieval knight who gets sent forward in time himself battling internet trolls in modern New York.
Did you say medieval?
First of all, they made that movie. It was with Jean Reno. And it was a medieval knight who came to the future.
Medieval, not medieval.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a real movie with Jean Reno. I forgot the name, but check it out. Him and another guy are
is
knights.
Is he colorblind?
No, but he is surprised by all those flashing lights. They've already done
that. Wait a minute. Are you referring to 1993's... Wait.
I don't know which
one. Oh, yes. Just Visiting from 2001.
Just Visiting. That's right. So it does exist already to a certain extent.
I feel like with the amount of effort you've put into making this robot AI to do the work for you, you could have just done the work yourself.
Legit. Am I not going to steal the money?
Peter? Here we go. Kurt Russell freezes time in order to steal library books for a woman he believes he drew when he was a child.
I would watch that movie if it was made by the same guy who did, Book of Henry.
Come on, give it to me. What's it called?
If the guy made Book of Henry made that movie, I'd watch it. If it starred Naomi Watts, I'd watch it.
Mm-mm.
How about, okay.
Seriously, I just want to watch the
Book of Henry.
Mappo, not
Book of Henry was directed by Colin Trevorrow.
That was him, huh? Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Either way, I think you should pursue your own work. And not the bot's work.
Did you not hear? Brian Levant he's going to produce the Real Butter movie. Hey, no, so that's a go. I'm just like, I'm coming up with new ideas.
Whoa. Brian is going?
You heard him, dude. He's totally in. I got his phone number and everything. I've already left like two messages since he hung up. So
Was legit not that. That was like minutes ago.
Why are you telling us this?
I mean, so you're selling the stock in the theater and he's going to make your movie and like, you're just going to leave us here? Like, let us join the movie theater if you finally have your dreams come true.
Yeah, let us be a part of your dreams.
Absolutely.
Man.
I don't know. Unless you guys can raise the money to save the theater, I might just have to sell it to an evil land developer.
Well, we just tore down the walls to make a drive-in. We are on our way to success.
Yeah, pretty true.
In the middle of a pandemic.
Pretty true.
Yeah, I mean...
All right, I'm going to hold on the selling just for one more week. We'll see how it goes.
Just, can I please be a part of it? Because that'd be so much fun.
Well, you didn't sign the legal papers on the movie yet. I've been needing you to sign those.
Fine, I'll sign up just to get out more, you know?
Woo! I'm getting him solved, Theo. My first real lawyer case is
getting
done.
You're not a lawyer.
I'm your lawyer, maybe, in some situations.
Why are you trying to high-five me?
Come on, man. Up top, 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 top.
Okay.
And you remember that idea I had about replacing Poppy's character with a dog? I think, after talking with Brian, that's a definite go.
Yeah, Poppy's still passed out. I don't know if he's dead or not.
Oh, he's been in that box a while. We did not take his advice to make holes in the box the way we took his advice.
God,
on everything else.
How many popcorn sidekicks are we going to lose this way?
This guy is a survivor, and he's not going to give up.
Let me open it. Poppy, are you there?
Keep on surviving. Poppy, you're alive. Let me poke you with a stick real quick.
Ow. Come here. Get up, Poppy.
Let me catch my breath.
The stick. I didn't put you in this box. I just
stupid box.
Peter did. He was afraid you were going to make a scene in front of Brian Levant.
And you did, Poppy. He couldn't even understand you.
It's not my fault!
Yeah, I mean...
It is your fault, Poppy. It's always your fault. It always will be.
Peter, don't be so hard on him, even though it is his fault.
It's not my fault!
Okay, sorry, Poppy, but at least you're alive. Theo's right. Not many popcorns sit to survive life here.
What are you talking about?
Nothing. Look, all I mean is that you're kind of a little bit of a hassle sometimes. Brian Levant's a big director. And
why'd you give him the stick?
Because he's so adorable.
Give me the stick, Poppy.
I'm going to take it from both of you. Neither of you deserve this stick. Although, Poppy, hold on to this for a second. Okay.
No, don't give him the stick. Ow, ow, ow.
Ow, that's pretty funny.
Ow.
God, the range of this little popcorn. Oh, Poppy.
Please, I don't care about anything else. Just, if this movie is actually happening, just, why can't I be a part of it, man?
You haven't signed the documents.
But I feel like that's not really the problem here.
No, you feel like he's going to do something through those documents to take.
Hey, Brian. Brian.
What?
This is Theodore calling again, just about the Real Butter movie. Back to you again about producing it and everything. So, hit me back. See you later.
Not like that. Okay. Is he responding to you?
Was that a message?
I feel like you're pulling.
Yeah, I was just leaving another message. It's fine.
In the middle of our phone call. Was that? It seems like that was more
you
for
guys
us.
Are doing the thing with Poppy, all right? That's fine.
I'm over it.
He's way more interested in what just happened right now.
Am I going to be in a movie?
Yeah, you got to sign the papers too, though.
Actually, you might be a dog.
I can be a dog?
No, you can't be a dog. Your character will be changed to a dog in the story.
That's actually a pretty good dog.
Are you on all fours, Poppy? Okay, are you peeing on my foot right now? Oh my gosh.
Whoopsies.
Oh gosh. They don't say whoopsies. Dogs don't say whoopsies.
Are you peeing butter? Is that how that works?
Is that salt?
I don't know what that is. Are you tasting it?
Maybe. I was curious.
I use poop salt all the time, but this is uncalled.
This is disgusting.
You're the one that lays it out for me.
Puke.
Oh, more salt. This is salt. Oh, good. I'm going to save this for later. I'm going to have some steak. Some rice. I'm going to have some croutons with my salad.
Oh.
Well,
Was that Bela Lugosi?
Yes, it was the croutons for my son. Ed Wood, I'd like to be in your movie.
Theo, I think you...
The children. I've been eyed.
The children.
Of the night.
Oh, what a good idea, Alex.
The children of the night!
So...
Actually, I have an idea for a movie called The Children of the Night.
Oh, gosh. Okay, do not AI that one bot as well. Like, you said you could make the original.
No, stop doing it, man. Focus on this movie that's going to get made, that Brian's going to direct. Focus on that.
Nice. Okay. I mean, I know you have trouble working with other people, but, like, you got to get this done. This guy's offering you that.
I mean, can't pass
this
up.
Here's a new one. Adam Sandler is a mechanic who attempts to build a working replica of the year 1990 in his basement to try and save his failing marriage.
That's pretty funny, actually.
I would legit see that movie because that would say everything about nostalgia these days.
Yeah. That's actually a pretty good one.
That's like Charlie Kaufman's Skatsky remakes, like, all of New York City in a building.
You should... still focus on the real butter one, though. That's going to get made, right?
Yeah, like that's on the top of the...
Absolutely. It's going to be the next Double Identity and the other Billy Wilder movies, probably.
Just don't ruin it. I know you don't like working with other people.
Sabrina's underrated.
Well, they'll all do what I tell them to do, right? That's kind of how it works?
No, it's a part... films are collaborative. You got to work with other people.
He said he was directing it or he was producing it?
I assume since I'm the writer, I get to direct as well.
No. They may just be buying your
script. I'll have to talk to
them
about this. I don't know. The deal might be off. I want to
know.
No! This is everything you want.
No.
I'll be right back. Hold
no!
On.
Oh,
no!
God. So
hey,
I'm not watching The Money Pit.
Deal again. I just wanted to double check that it was kind of a writer-director deal, because it's sort of
us.
A deal-breaker.
Theo! Theo, come on!
And just give me a call back.
I'm waving my arms, Theo!
He can't see us.
I'm waving! What if I
moon
him?
Later.
I'm gonna moon him!
Oh, again.
It's my butt!
Theo, don't do this! Oh, you...
Theo, I showed you my butt! That didn't work! Oh.
No, we can't see you. This is a phone call.
Oh!
I saw your butt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Well, I think that's a good point to end the show.
Oh, Theo, gosh, you just ruined it.
Dude. If this movie doesn't get made, what am I supposed to do?
You want to get out of here right now, don't you?
I mean, I don't want to leave you high and dry, but...
Leave me high!
You've got to make the movie theater profitable. I can't live on nothing.
I mean,
Well, you have to put in some effort, too. So that's why I'm saying it'd be a good deal if I do that, and I can also be in the movie as myself.
I don't know.
Rightfully so.
Maybe we could get someone to play you who might... be better at acting.
Like Brad Pitt? Because that's the only other...
He's a hard get.
Exactly. He's so hard. I should do it.
I mean...
He's like a little too, like, handsome for...
Oh,
whatever. Peter, the character.
And I'm pretty sure you've got a restraining order against him right now, Theo, I'm sure.
Oh, I remember that, yeah. Maybe you could get...
It's not him specifically.
Let me give you an email. A guy who I really think would do really well.
I'm Instagram buddies with the guy from Rap Macho!
Mappo. That's pretty cool.
Thank you.
That's pretty cool, actually.
The show's going to Netflix, Karate Kid.
So the email, Theo, write this one down. It's are you ready? Are you ready?
Yeah.
TOTALLY and then NOT and then and then Peter Theater. That's the email that should reach you. A really good actor who could play me.
Who's that?
All right.
Myself.
You just gave him your email, didn't you?
No, the email is totally not Peter Theater.
Guys, this is the kind of thing you won't see from Ralph Macchio. He's a pro.
Wow, Mappo, you got a lot of knowledge.
Ooh, Ralph Macchio. That's a good idea. I gotta go.
Peter.
Hey,
what?
Ralph, it's Theodore.
Seriously, I didn't okay this.
Mappo,
you're ruining my relationship with the Karate Kid.
You're not making this any better. I don't know how you formed this relationship. You don't have any limbs.
All I want to know is if I can please watch The Money Pit.
Fine, I'll put up The Money Pit. Just give me a minute, man.
Besides again.
Okay, just lean up against the wall.
All right.
There you go. And just chill.
Oh, I'm falling.
Okay.
I'm falling.
Oh. Okay, that's probably fine.
Wait, there's a bubble piece of gum under this table.
Really? Can you clean it?
No, I'm not wet.
Right. Theo, are you there, man? Theo?
I think he's done, dude.
I think he hung up.
He's either hung up or he's talking to Rap Macho.
I think all you guys suck.
Ugh.
And I'm going to be the one to come up top.
You can do whatever you want, but you're never going to be as strong as I have become.
I will.
I'm going to take my sledgehammer and go prove my strength.
No, don't hit more stuff.
I'll be unstoppable. I'll be the one on top. I will be God to you.
What's that?
Nothing. You'll see. You all see.
Did you say you wanted to eat dog poo?
No, why would I say that?
I thought you just said that I wanted to eat
dog
poo.
No, he definitely said dog poo. I heard dog poo. All
right.
No, I didn't.
All right, puppy.
You guys aren't hearing me.
You're doing your thing.
Don't stop the recording. You have to hear what I have to say. Poo, don't stop it. Don't stop it. Get your finger off
his Elliot to my sledgehammer.
Puppy, it's done. The recording is done.
Dog poo.
No!
Keep that one, Peter.
We were recording.
I'm recording now.
Okay, go.
Jerk. He's so demanding all the time.
I demand you stop this right now.
Okay, like this. Whee!